tonight. We're going to take a little, like you come to a rest stop or beautiful scenic, it's a scenic drive. And you kind of pull over. It's not necessarily on your course, but you have to do it. So consider this scenic route. And tonight, I just, so Father, just pray that you'd bless these, that you would speak the mystery to our hearts, that you would speak the unspeakable. We just praise you. Let's give you glory in your son's name. Amen. So tonight, which I almost say this evening, which I really enjoyed driving through and seeing that it was still daylight when we got here. And that's just remarkable. I found myself counting how many months I can have of this, and I have 7. So I'm going to live every one of them. I enjoy them all. I love light. I'm addicted to it. So anyway, so tonight, this evening or whatever, I just want to share a little bit from my heart. You know, we spent last week in Chicago, and it was an interesting time for a lot of reasons. But one was that we spent a lot of time with Catherine's dad, my mom too, but it was one of those unique situations. We happened to have the week off. It was an opportunity maybe to minister to him, and the crazy part was then my mom happened to be going that week to Chicago and basically invited me, so it was kind of this crazy thing, so we just took advantage of it. Someone said spring break Chicago. I don't get it. After I heard Susie's spring break, I can tell you, I'll be honest with you, Chicago was my last thought. I tried actually Florida first. And then we made our way up. It was Georgia, and it kept coming up, and then it wasn't working out. And now I understand why. So I went colder instead of warmer, which is not what I wanted, but it was what God wanted. But one of the things that came out of it, I mean, we had a tremendous time of witnessing to him. He is like a bottomless pit when it comes to that. So there were a lot of conversations. But, at the end of it, I remember I told Catherine, I said, you know, every Christian should have maybe a week like that every once in a while, because you really get to see the world for what it is. I mean, for what it really, really is, in all its rawness. And it's kind of, I don't want to say, it's really weird to say this, but vileness, but an innocent vileness, and as if, like, this is perfectly normal behavior. It's absolutely fascinating to me. And it's because, it's from the pit that I came from, but we haven't lived in that pit for a while. So when you see it again, it's ugly. It's like just pure ugliness. So that was interesting. But the second part, and this is where I really wanted to, I was really thinking particularly about this study. We talked a lot about purpose. We talked a lot about it. And, the one thing of life, if you, you know, we talked a lot in faith, and what do you believe, and how do you believe, and evolution, the whole nine yards, but purpose. And I was reminded that, again, that one of the big things that drew me to God to begin with was purpose. And then I was reminded again today. I mean, thus is the beginning of people, looking at the school. So we had, unexpectedly a couple of families in today. And maybe potentially some of them starting school tomorrow. But it's just very interesting to me. Purpose. I was talking to one of the persons today, and just like a lack of purpose can lead to a lot of negative things. And as I was talking to Dale, I was thinking a lack of purpose can leave Dale being her father to a lot of negative things. And just looking and seeing that world. Because without a vision, you know, the people perish. And then there's the second part of that verse, is happy is he that keeps the law. Like, he would see, he sees our life as with constraints. And I, but the one thing he doesn't have is happiness. And happy is he that keeps the law. And I would have to say that, you know, we had a little bit of a rough week in school. And then we had what Pastor Jay likes to call a come to Jesus meeting today. And that's when some of the visiting families were coming. It was a fun, very funny thing. But it was a good meeting. And then afterwards, I sensed a lot of freedom in school. But it was like we were realigning. You know, we had to like, you know, like, hey, this is not going to happen here. But then there was freedom. And I think everyone enjoyed each other. We had a lot of, we got work done, but there was a freedom. Because happy is he that keeps the law. Because there's purpose in it. It's not just law for no reason. That it's not, you know, like one thing I said, you know, we're supposed to tell you what to do. It's just the way it is, you know, but it is the way, that's the way it is. And, but there's a happiness in it and the freedom, because you don't really like being, and actually they're all nodding their heads. I'm like, because you don't like an unlawfulness. It's just like, and I said this to Dale, I said, you know, you appreciate law more than you know. You know, there's this idea that your door is locked and you lock your door, and we have laws that protect your door. Then they protect someone from coming into your house, and they protect their house from you going to their house. And that's an important thing. There is a happiness in that. There is, it's an important thing that we have. And there's a happiness in living within what let's call the constraints of the purpose of God for my life. And I was saying that to Dale, like, because I finally told him, that you look upon our life one way, but all I see in your life is unhappiness. And you have everything, but you have nothing. I told Catherine, I can't wait to get back to people who have no money and wonder what we're going to do for tomorrow to eat. I honestly couldn't. There is a happiness about it. You know, as rough as any day is here, I realize it is not even close to the hellish days that these people live. Just internally, just the talk and the everything is just so ridiculous. And for those, you know, I just remember, like, you know, and he was explaining the corporate world. He's like, as you know, you've heard of Sears, and you all know Sears. Well, you know, he's in the top. You know, he's right there. He and the CEO and all of that, and they're trying to save Sears, you know. But it's so ridiculous. At one point, I think, I don't know if I said it to him, I said, what are you, children? Did I say it to him? Because of just, like, the way that they interact with each other. And I just realized, because you know what, you have no constraint. I'm like, I said, girls gossip like this. But you know what, he's unsaved. And so he can be nothing else. He can't. This is not against Dale. This is just what we are. You know, I kept looking at him and looking at me. Like, what, this is me without God. Ridiculous. And thinking that this is cool, normal. And some of the things he would say, and finally he just said something like, so are you always right or something like that? I'm thinking, here, yes. Here, and if you were in my world for just a few minutes, you'd think that all of the church was right. Because this is crazy thinking. People don't think, this is not normal living. You know, this is not normal behavior. Because we, and I explained it to him like this, when we're together, we're together. And when somebody leaves the room, it's not an opportunity to talk about them. That's the world. I did the corporate world. I know that game. You know, that was the thing. But that's not the church. And that's not the church family. And that's not God. And that's one of the things, like, you have none of that. There's no happiness. There's just, you know, release, constant trying to get a release. Everything is about a release. And I say that because, you know, I don't know how long, maybe the only Bible study, I don't know what God will do with this, but I began thinking about York as well. And then the balloons, and, you know, I mean, I didn't think about the balloons at the time, but, I mean, why are we living here? You can't be living here because this is where you were born. I am uninterested in that. In 1 Corinthians 12, God puts the members of the body of Christ where he puts them. And they're very specifically put there for a reason. It's no accident. If you've moved here, it's no accident. If you were born here, it's no accident. It's a setup of God. And it's for divine purpose. Esther, you've been taken against your will. Vashti has been outed. She's out. And you're in. But you're one of so many people. But you're in for a reason, and that moment will come. Purpose. Divine purpose. It's absolutely, I have been made for that. And I guess my, at heart here, is it's, I think it can be easy to slip into a lack of purpose, but in, and not realize I'm there. And I can live it in a Christian world, because I can still go to church, be among godly people, do things, but I can be without purpose. But see, that is not, that is a lack of satisfaction. I will not be satisfied because the highest point of satisfaction for me is when God himself is working through me. That's the highest point. And I don't know what that is. I mean, that isn't like I'm in some foreign field and I'm speaking to a crowd of people. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God's expression. God himself in Latasha and his expression through me in whatever it is that I'm doing. That's living. That's my design. And when I'm not, it's like I'm a fish out of water. It's like I'm always trying to, like, and it'll make me a little bit out of myself. You know, I mean, at one point I said to Catherine, after the first night, we get there, I'm already tired. We barely get there, we rush out of church, right? And we end up speaking, I end up speaking to him for 3 hours straight. I was so tired. But afterwards I said to Catherine, I said, you know what? This is a man who's been left alone too much with his own thoughts. There's no purpose. It was ridiculous stuff. Now, on that level, it could be, you know, it'll sound ridiculous, you know. Like, I don't care when the light will turn green. It will turn green when it turns green. I don't need to measure this, and if we get there before this and whatever. I don't need long discussions. I mean, long discussions about the airport. I can, you know what I mean? I don't care. There are bigger things to talk about, deeper things. But that's the world, and that seems so foreign. But I can be that at the church. I can be conversations about nothing. I can be so without, but that only happens when I'm outside my purpose. Here's the thing, when there's purpose in your life, your conversation has a deepness just because. It does. It's not, you know, if you deep, if you will, because you're trying to make it deep. You are deep. Because how can you not be deep? God himself is in your expression. It gives so much life to you. And deep things mean a lot of things. It means also deep sorrow. But I don't mind. I mean, honestly, some of the sorrow we were talking about, I'm like, so this is what's troubling you. This right here. well, you know, I don't know if I should, whatever. I'm like, if I have to hear another day about this thing, you know, which is kind of ridiculous. You know, she didn't even look at me. I don't think so. It was just like, I'm sitting here thinking, because I'm not deep. Because my life is not deep. So my sorrows aren't deep. Honestly, that's the privilege of a Christian, is that there are things that can hurt us. You know, honestly, working in the school, there are lots of things that could hurt us. And if I wanted to steal myself, the first thing I should do is quit that school if I wanted to protect myself. Because there's a lot of sorrow there. We don't talk a lot about it. But there's sorrow there. Because we want so much. But see, that's God. That's God's. But it's easy to run away from that. Honestly, if you would preserve your life, that's the first thing you should do. Is run like hell. Because frankly, there's a lot of sorrow. But there's also great joy. You see, the person who has the capacity for great sorrow also has a greater capacity for joy. Like the things, you know what I mean? We're at the airport and the line is shorter than normal. And I think we must have talked about that for 15 minutes. I'm like, that's not joy to me. And I was upfront with them. Like, you know, there's great joy. And I love this guy. And because Catherine's like, how can you keep talking to him this long? I don't know. But I had capacity for it. I really did. And when he comes here in a couple weeks, I'll have capacity again. You know? You can't help but love him. And I really do believe he'll get saved. But, you know, and it's going to, but everyone is different. Some get saved and it's quick, whatever. And some it's 60 years of something or 50 years. You know, we're all going to be different. You know, there are a lot of those type of conversions. I'm not worried about it. But what spoke to me is like, your joy is not enough, Dale. I'm like, that's, like, this is what you, that's not enough. Do you know the delight of seeing someone's life transformed? And that was a question for me. He goes, you know, like, well, people can change. How? How can a leper change his spots? And this was his example. This is the example. The example is that maybe somebody, I talk a lot about myself, and then one day somebody says, hey, maybe you should try talking about other people first. See? He's changed. I blinked a few times. And then I said, Bill, that's not change. That's just another form of selfishness. The only reason that person has now begun to talk about somebody else is says, well, he said, no, it's because now they know because they'll gain friends. I said, then that's selfish, isn't it? The only reason I'm to let you talk about you is so that you'll be my friend, and that's selfish. But really, I don't really care. I just want you around so that I'm waiting for the time for my turn so I can talk about me again. How is that a change? He was silent. It's not change. You know, a change is inside out. I can't change me. But man, when I am changed by God, when His purpose is in my life, the deep calls to deep, my joys are incredible, and seeing a life transformed is a change. There's a joy, things that are that the heaven is joyful about. And I can tell that I was made for that kind of joy. It's true joy. It's true joy. But if I am not locked up in the purpose of God, I can't even have joy in a song service. And honestly, I think about these things because in heaven, you know, Dale asked me this. He said, I'm afraid I'll be bored. Why did I thought to myself, well, no, you're not. It's the highest living. So if in heaven I'm going to be praising God, is it possible that I was created to have a joy on the earth in doing the same in a song service? I was designed for this. I've only got a certain amount of years on the earth.
that's done. Then I will be living what I was designed to do. But in the meantime, God has said, you know what? I actually didn't design you for heaven. I designed you to live for me on the earth so that I could live through you there. And then for all of heaven to see this happening, because no one else can be like that. And I heard it like this. And I think I read it somewhere but recently. But there was a young boy, and he was incredible. I mean, he was just an incredible young man, and he loved to sweep and to work at his little job that he had and go to school. And he did it such a beautiful way, but he dreamed of being able to serve God more. And he had an angel. And the angel so loved this little boy that he wanted him to be able to have his dream. So he set it up so that he took over the work of the little boy so that the little boy could go on to really serve God. So the little boy, the way he wanted to. So the little boy went on and he ministered and did all of these amazing things as a great orator and missionary and preached, and many came to Christ. But his job here, it suffered a little bit because the angel could not fill the role. And then eventually God asked the boy, he said, could you go back to the work here? Because this is the work that I designed you to do. Now you could say, well, God, didn't you appreciate this over here? Right, but this is the corner he was designed for. And even an angel couldn't take it. Now it's an interesting story, but the point is well taken. Because we see that point again in Matthew 25. When I am given one talent, and it's given according to ability, it said. And I'm designed for something. But if I don't do it, this is a small enough town where actually York is affected. It's very interesting. We're a small enough church where if I'm not living my design, the church, our church is affected. We're a small enough group of people that those around me will be affected. Now, this place is meant, is God has a very specific purpose here. And I don't know, but I do my part, you do your part. I will have, I'll just explain it to Dale. I said, let's see. I'll have the highest happiness by glorifying God because I was made to do so. I'll have the greatest satisfaction. I told him, I am much more selfish than you are, Dale. Because my selfishness is based upon the fact that no human alive is able to give me what I need, and I see that. But God can. He fills me. He so fills me. There's nothing that I do that can do that. There's no one here or anyone near me who can do that, but God can. He can fill this emptiness that would be there without him. I have happiness. I have satisfaction. I have purpose. I have, this is interesting, fruit. Dale, what fruit do you have? Well, I'm looking for that after a few days. The only thing he can come up with is that he might, when it's all said and done, find a rich family whose husband has just left the wife and he might cook a few meals for them. Am I lying? This was his thought. I blinked again. This was his high thought. But you and I can bear fruit. I mean, honestly, this church is not here without the bearing of fruit in. Whether it was in the beginning for Manor Baptist to hold the line for years. It had been maybe bigger and then it's small, but not to let it go, but to hold the line and to hold it. It is for maybe, if I can say this, a small family moves here from Baltimore and pretty much doesn't know what the next step is, but they're just going to raise their daughter here and be here. And then, but they don't realize that they're being set up by God. And then another group of people, like, we're trying to find this place. And we keep looking further and further north of Baltimore and west because there's no place that's possible. And then our electrician from York comes to Baltimore. And it's crazy stuff. But in your place, there's a phone call by the pastor of said small church and to a person who works in her place at an insurance company. These little things are not, you know what I mean? They're not so, like, unusual. But they are in the place. But God would have me glorify Him in the place. And when that glory is in the church, and there was a glory that will go throughout all of York, and its influence, we can't tell. That school is only for the glory of God. It's only for the glory of God. We don't know. You know, I was sitting there the other day, and we were, you know, like I said, a bit of a rough week, and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at this young man, and they kept bothering me and bothering me, and I couldn't get some work done. So finally I said, you know, if you can't find him, join him. So I pulled my chair out there, and I'm sitting there, and then I was talking to someone else, and then he gets his meal for tutoring. He doesn't even realize I'm there. And he's just like, thank you very Heavenly Father for the opportunity that you've given me to be here. And this whole beautiful prayer comes out of him. And that I've had an opportunity today to speak and thank you for whatever. It's this whole thing. And I just kind of, I was in reverence. And it's like, this young man, a year ago coming, you know, he rededicated his life at the play in Baltimore a year ago. But this young man, only so many years ago, I can't even tell you where he came from. And I'm sitting there watching that and saying, like, I don't know the hidden purposes. But I would say this, let's not get locked up in the little things, and let's not miss our divine calling. It's a holy calling. And it includes things around us. Every little thing is divine and holy around me. Do you know why? Because I'm there and I'm doing it. It's divine. It's purposeful. It has meaning. You know? He's asking questions. Yet, you know, when you go back home, he's like, you know, not everybody can give like you guys. And I'm like, what are you talking about, Dale? I said, oh, I see. You have made a mistake. You don't know Christianity. I would try to be very direct with him at times. My life is not in what I give. Honestly, my life is in my relationship with God. But my giving is the overflow of my life. It is part of the calling. Remember, I said happiness, satisfaction, and then expression, and we call that fruit. Fruit is beautiful. It's beautiful, Dale. It is who I am. It is, but it's internal and external. It's the love, the joy. It's the fact that you say we just keep giving. That's fine. That's from the fruit of the Spirit. And then it's just the fact that we care. And I think the biggest thing, and I actually haven't said this out loud, I think the biggest thing that really made me think all week long is that I just couldn't get over the fact of that type of mentality of that doesn't care. I don't care. And it's the mystery of iniquity, the Bible calls it, the mystery of ungodliness. Caring is God-given. It's absolutely a gift. Because I realized that, you know, that there were points where we weren't going to get around each other. Because caring is from the inside out. And no matter how you cut it, if you care about people,
everything else is just different. You're not trying to. You know? You just do. But the question is, I'm in New York, right? And I specifically want to say this because let's not lose that. It can slip. It can slip. And it's possible that I could go my life and I could actually live this life incorrectly. And what a miserable experience that is, missing the mark of my life. Missing my calling. Because I wanted to save something that isn't even worth saving. I'm not saying that there isn't, you know, difficulty. There is difficulty. There can be difficulty. But I'm saying, what is the point if I'm not living in my purpose? You know, it's, what is the point? A life without purpose is not a life. It's a death sentence. It's just a death sentence. I want more because God has made me for more. That's what I also told Dale. I said, the fact that you keep asking me questions, the fact that it's a reason why there's this deepness inside of you that wants more. Or else you wouldn't have these questions. You want more. And ladies, it's in us. It's in us. Maybe it was a hard winter for some. Maybe it was an easier winter. I don't know. But, like, let us expend ourselves in the purpose of God. Let us find that purpose in what God has for us. If we are in it, then let us make sure that we are in the purpose in it. It is possible to be lost inside the will of God. If we're not in it, let us find it. Let us find it. Throughout most of the Old Testament, even beginning in Genesis, and, you know, God always was talking about a land to be possessed. And there is a land to be possessed. And then about conquering that land. And there is a lot of land. Land in my own soul that must be possessed. And then land around here that must be possessed. And as I sat in the office, and I can't go into detail, but I want to say this, as I listen to things, there's very much land to be possessed. You know, let us be encouraged and let us encourage each other in the land to be possessed. Because whether you like it or not, this is the fishbowl that we have been thrown into. And it's not just to live and die here, but rather there is purpose here. And you're a part of a church that has purpose, that has craziness, but has purpose. And that none of us can actually see. But I love the fact that one of the people walked through the door because York Catholic, is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. York Catholic told them, we can't help you, but we know a place that can. Mm-hmm. Now, I have never met anyone from York Catholic. Ever. I didn't even know they existed, really. But they know we exist. And so they came to us, no matter what happens, and I don't know what happens, but that is a testimony. That is, like what I was telling Pastor Jay today, that is a badge of honor.
that you would know who could help you. I take that as the highest compliment. What would you rather those people go to? Where would you rather them be? I don't know. I just know that there is a time, there's a place, there's a position, there's a group of people. And God does that. And I just don't want, as ladies, we can get caught up in small things. Don't. Resist it. Get caught up in the deep things. The deep things of God. And let him surprise you daily. Christ said, a man can receive nothing except to be given to him by the Father. There are things that God would have me receive. And in receiving, that I would be available. They're just things. And each one of us has a part to play. And it'll be interesting to watch the whole thing play itself out. But don't get small. That's for all of us. Don't get caught up in your own personal drama. And I say this this is a heart to heart tonight. It is easy as ladies for us to get caught up in our own personal drama and to miss the bigger picture and to get weary in well doing. I think it's entertaining, and like I'm just going to be frank, you know, at one point all I heard was negativity around the balloons. And some person even said to me today, said, yeah, I thought you guys bit off more than you could chew. And I'm like, and I'm laughing. I'm like, this is one of our people. And I'm like, it's like you sow, the Bible says to sow, you know, here and there in different fields and all season. You don't know what will prosper. So finally, when it was all whatever, around, I don't know, Saturday evening, and I was wasted, I said, listen, let's just do it this one time. And if nothing comes of it, okay. But what a beautiful thing came of it. It's easy to not be a part of the show. But are you really happy? For all the work that you and I can do to have what we want, are we really happy? Are we really happy? I said, no, well, you know, I was told, you know, well, then I'll just live for pleasure. Okay. There's one little part, you forgot the rest of that little part in the Bible. The Bible says it's a season. Winter is almost over. And as we were driving here, I was thinking, wow. But it's over, ladies. Seasons come and go. The end of that, the Bible says, is death. You think that you're going to survive and you'll be okay and you'll just be miserable. You have no idea what God has in store at the end of pleasure. The consequences of that can be horrific. There can be a sorrow upon sorrow and you're still alive, which would be its own personal hell. I can't think about that. Pleasure is like, it's not worth living for. But my design? Wow. That's amazing. You know, and I'll just close with this, but in Acts 13, it says that David, that he died having served his generation. And at one point, you know, Dale knew it too. It was like the elephant in the room. It was kind of like, have you done anything to serve your generation? Will it matter that you lived or died? Because, you know, it's like plan of how he's going to retire and whatnot. Now, here's the thing. Does it matter? Yes, to God, because I was created, what have you. But it's kind of like this, you know, a parent can have two children. They love both. But if you ask them, maybe one of the children, if you will, matter more. There is a purpose in their life. They add to the family. They add to society. They're living in purpose. And the other one can absolutely be a disappointment. They will love them equally. But their disappointment is real. And there's a recent message that was done in Baltimore that was well done. By Pastor Schaller on sin in this generation, and that one day we will all face God as Christians, and we will not have an excuse. We will have to say what it is. And honestly, when I am living outside of my purpose, that is sin. For him that knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. If I know to do good and I don't do it, it is sin to me. That's interesting. Interesting Bible verse. To him that knows to do sin, to do good, and doesn't do it, if I know to live in my purpose, and I choose this instead, it's sin. And sin, be sure your sin will find you out. The wages of sin is death. Christian, it won't be hell, but it could be hell on earth. Now, that's not a road I choose. I'm just saying that it's possible maybe some of the hell I feel in my emotions are because I am not choosing to live in the purpose I was designed for. Isn't that interesting? So my emotions can be a living hell. And I cannot figure it out. Because I'm never going to go to hell. But I can have a living hell in my emotions. It's worth it. It's so much more peaceful. That is an exciting journey. I was telling this one person today, like, this is the journey. It's an amazing journey to find out why I exist and what I was designed for. That's an interesting thing. That's the greatest secret on the earth for me. It really is. Because that secret is only locked inside God. So the more I delve in that, I'll find that. It's not in what you're doing. There's not one person greater than the other. There's not one what have you. It's the man or woman living out their call. Billy Graham lived out his call. His call is different from mine. But I may have the call of the little boy. I don't know. But I will say that I will have the call. But in that, there's satisfaction, there's happiness, there's divine fruit. There's so much more. Ladies, forward, ever forward, there's very much land still to be possessed in our hearts and then around us. We must go forward. And it will be that these kids will look at. We take them forward. We also go forward. I don't want it to be that we miss that. I was fast. Caleb, he's at the end of his life, seemingly. You know, and he says, "Give me that mountain." God decides whatever you think you're at. That's God's business. That's not yours. There's very much still more land to be possessed. You take it. And here's the interesting thing, and I'll close with this. That spirit of Caleb in the later years of his life became instilled in his daughter. And when it was time for her to get married and she was ready to go, she jumped off the donkey she was on, ran to her father, and asked for more. She had the same spirit. When I have the right spirit, then I will have served my generation and the next generation will have the Spirit. And she said, give me that, those springs also. That's key. That's why it has to matter. Caleb never ruled the people. That was Joshua's job. But his job was to be who he was. He was just that guy. When there are 12 in a room, he's that guy who says, yeah, we can do it. He was just that guy. He's that guy that says, okay, we're all done. He said, no, there's more. He was that guy. And because he was that guy, it encouraged the other guy, Joshua, who led the people. It encouraged him. He was that guy. He would kill the giant, so to speak. And as such, he encouraged his daughter. And as such, we read about him. And you know what God said about him? God said he had another spirit. He was that guy. Wasn't necessarily not the leader. He was just that guy. That was his job, to be that guy. Be careful of our communication, of our lips. Let's be that lady. Let's be that person. Why not? Let's live our design. You know? Let's be different. I think that's all I had to say. Comments?
Questions?
Concerns? Does everyone understand what a calling is?
That's when God talks to you and he gives you ideas on what you're supposed to be doing.
Good. Yeah. Anything else?
Yeah, but he'll talk to you like we talk to each other. Each of you have a different method of listening to God. Just like I have my method. And it's different for each one of you, so you all have to pay attention.
Anybody else want to add to that?
You had a very good story tonight.
Thank you. But you get it, it's that thing. It's that thing. The one thing I love is that it's that thing that I love the fact that I was designed for something that nobody else can do. That's what I told Dale. I said, listen, because her father is a man of statistics. He loves statistics. And I forgot, when I was young, I was like that. But I loved them for what... He just loves the numbers. I loved what they meant. It's true. He's like, oh, okay, yeah. I'm like, I realize, oh, yeah, there's a big difference. But it meant that I felt like my life is nothing if I'm just a statistic. But to know that my life has meaning, that God designed me for something very special, that's incredible. And I explained that to him. That's the big thing. Of course I was designed for something. Of course. That's amazing. Otherwise, what's the point? I told him this. I said, listen, you guys can walk around thinking you believe in evolution, but no, you don't. You don't see evolutionists and their families going, hey, to their daughter, you really are nothing. Really, you just, you're just from natural selection, and pretty much you just came about from a happy accident, and your life is kind of meaningless. But I hope, you know, so whatever. No. You don't see that. And you never see that part of it, you know. They just want to make sure the kids know the truth.
And you wonder why the suicide rate is growing. It's a crazy thought. Your life is meaningless. And I sort of tell Bill, I said, the big difference between your idea of evolution is that I have a soul. I'll never be that monkey, and he will never be myself. He can copy me. My dog can do tricks. He doesn't have a soul. Not at all. He doesn't wonder, Dale. He's not wondering why he's alive. He's looking for another biscuit. Mm-hmm. I wonder. And I can become animal-like. You can drive me so much in my own selfishness and everything else, I can stop and not think that. But I have a soul. It was designed to be filled by God and to be told different things, like she said, and then also to affect something else. And I'm part of something. All right, I believe in evolution. The evolution of I was put on the earth to do something that will affect something else. If that's my version of evolution. We like to call it a calling.
You said it's possible to get lost inside the will of God. Can you talk about what that means?
It means like I'm in maybe the right place doing the right thing. But maybe I can begin to build my own house, so to speak. Kind of like we're like water and we settle on the lowest, like I was yelling at the students today, right? No, I just talked. I don't really yell that much. But because they can settle. They can sit there and they can settle. And I was thinking, when I was talking to them, I don't know, I was like, cause sometimes it's like, okay, again, I have to say this again. And I have no idea why, but I was reminded of Winston Churchill. And then I actually looked him up. And I looked at his great speeches. He had many speeches. They say he pretty much single-handedly got an entire nation and perhaps an entire world through the war. The Battle of Britain, right after Dunkirk, there were some great speeches. We will never, 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 never give up. We will never surrender. Just these great things that he would do. And when he, at 80 years old, they honored him. And they said, you know what, honestly, all I did was speak the heart of the nation. They were the lion, I was their roar. And I thought, that's well said. Like, when I was speaking to these students, it's because you are putting into words what is and should be, and it's in their hearts, and to remind them of it. And that's a key thing. And yes, sometimes it needs repetition. Like, he'd get on the radio and he would do this again, and he would do it different ways, and that's how God is with us. So he said, break up the fallow ground. And that's what it is. I can be, the ground is right, it's the right land, but fallow ground is ground that can't plant. So there's a breaking up of this fallow ground. I'm in the will, at the will of God, but it's all like unable to be fruitful. Why? So that there can be life in it. So I'm in the will of God, but I'm kind of lost in it. And there's like, just like we need the reviving of, oh, right. Because otherwise I could get lost and years can go by and I can actually lose decades and get to a point in my life and realize that I'm living in fallow ground. I'm in the right whatever, but I've just got my little house here. And I've missed it. I mean, there's an entire book on this. When God says, listen, you're building your little houses, and I told you to go build mine. And he says, listen, this is not cool. You guys need to get up off your butts. And you need to finish it. And it's a very important piece for us in history, where they are told to go back and finish this temple. Because it's like, you're... what you're doing is out of order. But they were like in the land of the will of God, but not actually fully participating in all that God had designed. Does that make sense? So I can be there, but not participate. I can be a member of this church, but not, if you will, participating in my heart. And it's easy, and it's something to do. I can be a member of any church and do that. But the problem is the church itself is hurt and affected, and I am actually causing, you know, if enough people, you have your fallow ground, I have mine, pretty much, before you know it, the whole land is here, but it's just fallow. It's unable to be, like, used for fruitfulness. God will send like a Winston Churchill, if you will, along the way, and they'll have to say, or like he'll say, wake up, hey, remember, like I have you here doing this for a reason. And it's an important, you know, like I said, it's important. And it's the entire book of Haggai. And it's like verse 2, they said, the Lord is saying, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord. He said, this people say, oh, it's not time. And he said, oh, is it time for you to dwell in your own house? And my house lies waste? Consider your ways, he says. You have so much. But in your heart, why am I not so happy? What's wrong? But you bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you're not filled. Like, I thought that if I did this, this would work out, whatever. Why is it? Why is there an emptiness? You clothe yourself, but you're not warm. And you earn wages, and you're putting them into a bag of holes. Consider your ways, he says again. Go up to the mountain, bring the wood, and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified. Build God's house. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it, meaning it was nothing. Why? Because my house is waste, and every man is running to his own house. So I caused all of this. Isn't that interesting? And then he tells them, listen, I need you to build. And he says in verse 17, he said, this is the message. This is what he's speaking to this few people. If I'm with you. You know? I'm with you. And then he says, be strong, O Zerubbabel. Be strong, O Joshua. Be strong, all you people of the land. And work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. And the glory of this new house that you build in chapter 2, verse 9, will be greater than the other one. In this place, I will give my peace. So he tells them, you know, like, you do this and I'm with you, but I'm telling you that you can do not like live in this on this fallow ground. You've been over here and maybe nobody's noticed, but I've seen it, and I'm telling you, you know, to break this up and to understand the purpose. And in this case, their purpose, he had sent them there to build that house. And he says, you're wondering why things aren't so well. He said, well, you're wondering why you're not so whatever. Wondering why this is a little bit of a mess. Because I have a purpose for you. And that's the thing is, I'm not giving up on that. That's like Romans 2:4, right? The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. He doesn't change his mind. He hasn't said, oh, she chose differently. Not the way it works. That doesn't work. God doesn't, you know, he doesn't change his mind. The only thing that happens is I can be so rebellious that the thing he's forming is I am absolutely, it's not, it doesn't, I don't let it develop into what he wants it to be in me. So I just, I'm so rebellious, I say no, 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 no. And then it's marred. And when that happens, he throws it away. No. The Bible says he builds it again. I mean, he makes it again. A different vessel. So God is always looking to build me and to build through me. This people I formed for myself, they shall bring me praise. We've been formed for him. And I can do all I want to get outside of that, but it's ridiculous. It's like a child running around saying, I don't have a mommy, I don't have a mommy. Honey, you can't even exist. You don't exist. I don't have a mommy. I don't have a mommy. Oh, really? Okay, right. Of course you have a mommy. You know, it's like it's retarded. But we can go around, I don't have a daddy. I don't have a daddy. You know, and God says, okay, you're marred, but I will build you again. I will wait to be gracious. I will allure you. I'll bring you into the wilderness. I will build you again. I will build you again. Does that answer the question? If it doesn't, too bad. I'm just kidding. Any other comment or question? It's important not to, and if we've lost sight of this, to get it back and what have you. It's amazing. One woman or one man can sanctify an entire building, a house, in 1 Corinthians 7. A family. I can do that. It's important. It begins with me living in my purpose. And when I do that, that stuff, like I said, I have no idea, but I will find that I have a young woman, like Caleb's daughter, and she's different because of me, and I didn't even know it. People say that, oh, and that was one thing Dale was like, you know, it won't matter my actions. And I'm thinking, you have no idea. You don't get to decide what your actions will do and who they are. You know, that's the verse I want. It's a great verse in Joshua 23:10, that one man of you shall chase 1,000. It's like this idea that I don't know, and you know, that's 23:10, and then Leviticus 26:8, 5 of you can chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. That is a comfort to me as I think of, you know, we don't know the power of a small church in a small town. We have no idea. All I know is the power of, I know, this I've seen. I live in a world every day of people who don't live, aren't living their purpose. I've seen that power. But the remarkable power of somebody who says, I'm going to be different. That's interesting. It's unlimited. It's unlimited. There is a limit to the amount of evil that can be done in the world. God limits it. The wrath of man, God restrains. Okay? But if actually we don't know the limit, because he said, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man that which he's prepared for us, for a person whose heart is after him. He's prepared for us. You know? Exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. So this is unlimited. So that would be amazing. Anyone else? You know, just so you know, it's not really just, you know, pick on Dale Knight. Actually, when I studied this, I wasn't even thinking about him. It wasn't even until I was driving over here that I began thinking about him. But the funny thing is, Dale actually welcomes this kind of stuff. If you were at Catherine's graduation party, he just got up, stood up in the middle. He loves it. I have no idea why, but he just loves it. So... But when he comes here, he'll freely talk to anybody about what he doesn't believe and ask questions about. But he also will admit, you know, this time took him a little while longer. I think the 3 hours first was, I was kind of blowing him open, like, because it's like, you know, because I don't think I'm like, Dale, you're selfish. You're a selfish guy. It's like, I don't think that what I've done has hurt people. I was like, are you kidding, right? You know, it's like you can get, and I think like that's from being alone. You can just totally try to deceive yourself into thinking that me living outside of my purpose doesn't hurt people. Yes, that deal. You know, I mean, we're all of it. When I'm outside my purpose, when I am not in my call, it does. Because I was designed to. You know, that's like if you have a sports team and one member decides to build his own little whatever, I'm not going to get hurt. You're on the football team, right? Everyone's targeting at the line. He's like, that's a good example where they're talking about, I'm in the will of God. I'm on the team. I've got my position. And everyone's, okay, hike. And he's just kind of, okay. Oh, yeah, everything's going on around. Don't touch me. All right. We got out of that flight. The rest of this team, they're bloody, whatever. Okay, we're going to go again. Then they're not always sure, you know, they can't always see, like, what's going on. Hike again, you know. And he comes out like, you know, wow. Wow, I'm okay. You know, and like, you know, eventually, you know, and if enough people do that, your team is absolutely going to be destroyed. Just the way it is. You know? Everyone, we just, there is an internal football team, if you will, or whatever, and it's every player. And that's why, you know, most football teams, I say that because it's the greatest example, just because a football team has so many players doing so many different things. And just when you try not to pay attention, oh, he's just a punter, and he punts it out at the wrong second. You know, oh, he's like, you can't do that. Bottom line is all of those people, they're like an organism. And if they don't move like an organism, it affects everything. And honestly, a church is like that. Every one of us has a calling. You know? And every one of us, this is so important that we recognize that. And yes, it does affect. If I am like always just gonna, if I'm gonna kind of, you know, well, you know that my finger was hurting and whatever. Hike! Ooh, you know, I don't wanna. Hike! You know, it's like I'm missing down after down, or, you know, and I'm just like, no, we're part of something. I was designed for something. I have a place to play. And I have a position. And that's where heroes, because one can chase a thousand. That's crazy. So, I don't know. I mean, I think about that. We're small, but who knows what we'll be chasing. So, all right. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.